I think most of us are capable of way more than we ever believe that we're capable of. So stop making excuses and just give it a crack.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining us today is, among many, many other things, the winner of the 2019 Gold Area for Most Influential Woman in Property. Welcome to the show, Leanne Pilkington.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is great to have you here. And I mentioned to someone that you would be coming in for the podcast this week. And that person said, well, that'll be interesting with you two birds together because she's a rainbow lorikeet and you're a magpie.
Yes.
So I don't know whether that means that they think we make a lot of noise.
Well, we do know that that's true. But yeah. Yes, I'm not too colourful today, but there is a bit of colour.
Yeah, I'm always jealous of your colour, actually. I wish I was that creative, but, you know, like I feel like Mark Zuckerberg these days and just come in wearing black.
Exactly. Reduce the amount of decisions you've got to make before 7 a.m, right?
That's it. But I am wearing heels in your honour.
Thank you. I did notice that.
So you wear many hats. You're the president of REI New South Wales. You're the founder of the Property Girls, the Real Women in Real Estate Network, and the managing director for Lang & Simmons. So the question on everyone's mind is, how do you handle it all?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't have a really interesting answer for it, to be honest. I just do what's in front of me. I don't overthink stuff. My time management strategy for when things are really stressful is do the things that kept me up all night last night. So I just do them first and get them out of the way. So I try and do the hard things first and just keep on going.
Eat that frog.
Eat that frog. Exactly right. Yeah.
And so it has been a heck of a year. Hell of a year to be president.
Hell of a year to be president. I have the T-shirt and the coffee mug.
Yeah. Tell me about some of your adventures this year, some of your most memorable ones.
It's just been relentless, I think, is the best word to describe it. And right at the very beginning, when it started to be clear that COVID was going to impact us in a pretty major way, just keeping everybody calm was the most important thing, because I had business owners that were, without making a drama out of it, they were literally suicidal and they needed someone to just help them stay calm and focus on what they could do. People were focusing on everything that they couldn't do. We couldn't do auctions. We couldn't do open for inspections. We couldn't do all kinds of things, but we still could sell property. And so let's just focus on what we can do step by step. Don't bother predicting about the cliff that we're all going to fall over, because we don't know what's going to happen. We just literally had no idea what was going to go on. And so I didn't want to waste time speculating, creating drama and freaking people out, which is what unfortunately, some people in leadership were focusing on, the fact that the industry was going to be decimated. And I just didn't see the point in doing that. And let's face it, the industry has not been decimated at all. Not that I would have predicted that we're here. I would never have predicted that, and I don't think anybody would have, but, you know, just one foot in front of the other.
I think in some cases, and people have commented to me too, that it's actually been a good year for them, because it's sort of shocked them out of maybe a bit of complacency that they might have been in. And yeah, I've heard stories about people reinventing themselves and reinventing their businesses and rationalising costs. Yeah. You know, how have you found it in Lang & Simmons? Have your people been really creative?
We all know that real estate agents are not the most tech savvy group by and large. I mean, some are great, but in majority are not. And so that first weekend, because we found out on the Thursday that we couldn't do face-to-face auctions on the Saturday, so everybody was scrambling to get their online auction technology happening. And so there were a few auctions that I watched on that first Saturday where I could see the midsection of the auctioneer, and that was it. So there was a little bit of that. But mostly, yeah, our team have been surprised at how strong business still is and has been throughout that period. So like a lot of networks, we just focused on the training, focused on communication. We had daily updates, webinars with our business owners for the first month or two, and we are still doing weekly webinars with a variety of people. So it's been a lesson to me in the need for really clear, consistent communication.
Yeah, because I think it's something that we actually really had to pay attention to while we were locked down, whereas it was something that we took for granted before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. And so what about from the REI point of view? Because, again, this has been an interesting year. We had the first change in legislation.
23rd of March.
Yeah, I think it was actually the same week we got locked down.
It was. It was that Monday. And it's like, I cannot believe that all of this is happening at once. As you know, I've been passionate about improving the education standards in real estate for a really long time. We worked for more than 10 years to get these changes through. And, of course, the very day that they're coming through, the whole world just went mad. So thankfully, Fair Trading and the government gave us a 6-month moratorium on fining people for the implementation, and they've just extended that for another 6 months. So at least people have got time to implement the supervision guidelines into their business.
Yeah. And how are people in New South Wales generally going with that? Has there been any confusion, or have they needed help, or are they mostly doing a good job?
A combination of all of the above. And I think it depends on, you know, the bigger offices have got general managers and operations managers and those kind of people that can actually take charge. It's the smaller businesses where the business owner is responsible for that implementation that is a little bit trickier. But the REI and a few other people have got supervision guidelines out there in the market that sort of step people through what they need to do. I do get an occasional phone call going, "Are you people for real? Like, we don't have time for all of this." But it's like, don't shoot the messenger. We're just trying to help you. But it was the Fair Trading and the government who made the decisions about what was required.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I mean, you know, like, if this year's taught us one thing, it's that we can actually, you know, fit more into a day than we ever thought we could.
That is for sure. And we're a very resilient bunch.
Yeah.
It's been really heartening to see after that initial first few weeks where it literally was panic stations. Everybody is like, everyone sort of shook it off and got back to business, and people were saying to me, "Wow, Lee, I actually like doing private inspections. You get to know the buyer." I'm like, what a novel concept.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. There's that communication coming back in again.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking a bit about the areas today, yeah, because the areas submissions are coming up again soon, like for people that want to enter the areas. And you've won quite a number of area awards, both personally with Most Influential Female last year, but Langan Simmons also has won several awards over the years. So first of all, I just want to ask you, what did winning Most Influential Female mean to you?
I don't think I've told you this story. The very first message I got when I won that award was from a very high-profile man in the industry who's a good friend of mine, and he said, "Oh, congratulations, Lee. So tell me, who's the most influential man in real estate?" And I said, you know, that's actually a great question. It's not the bloody point, but it's a great question. But there's so many. How could you choose? And that's not the case with women in leadership roles. You know, hopefully there's a few more this year than there was last year, but we don't have the same number of high profile leaders. And so for me, it's all about just, you can't be what you can't see. And so if I'm able to inspire other females in the industry to go, you know what, if Leanne can do it, so can I. You know, if Leanne can do it, it can't be that hard. I can give it a crack.
I don't know. You work pretty hard, but I get
it. Yeah,
I
do.
If she can, I can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's really what it meant for me. It just gave me a higher profile and the opportunity to connect with more people in the industry. And it's been a fun year.
Yeah. How did you feel when your name was called?
I was in a little bit of shock. I was actually sitting with Jackie Jones on my team, and in fact Owen Wilson from REA was sitting next to me, so that probably should have been a clue, shouldn't it, that I was going to go okay. Given he was sitting
actually,
next to
yeah,
me, yeah,
but hindsight,
didn't occur to me at the time. I was, yeah, I think you're always surprised when you win awards like that.
Yeah.
It was a real honour, and it was a really great night. And Langan Simmons won an advertising award as well, and that was really Jackie in particular had worked so hard on that campaign. I was absolutely thrilled it had been recognised.
The Real Heroes campaign.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. So tell me the story behind Real Heroes.
So we asked the community to nominate people in their own community that who were making a difference. And we chose 10 people and gave them $5,000 each. But we actually went out and filmed their reaction to winning the money. and then got them to talk about what they would use the money for. And Jackie, as you probably know, is a bit of a soft touch. So reading through those applications, she was just in floods and floods of tears.
I'm feeling Jackie right now. Yeah.
There were some phenomenal stories. It really was a very, very special thing to do.
Yeah. And what did the social media strategy look like around that?
A lot of posts, a lot of ongoing conversations with the heroes in the community. It wasn't just about profiling Lang & Simmons or the Lang & Simmons offices. It was about raising the profile of the good work that those people were doing. And as a result, you know, they've got more supporters, and some of them really need all the support they can get working with, you know, the homeless people out at Liverpool, or, you know, buying bikes for young girls in India because of safety concerns. If they have to travel so far to go to school, if they're on a bike, they can outrun an abductor. Ugh. I mean, some of the stories that you can't believe it. You can't believe that we live in a world like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I guess as a brand marketing strategy or something like that, you don't have to always sort of put money into property or into the standard things. You can do something good, and there's just a halo effect that emanates from it, if you like.
Absolutely. I mean, real estate agents are really connected to their local communities, and they are some of the most generous businesses and people that you'll ever meet. A lot of agents support a lot of good works in their own local community. So for us, it made sense.
And I feel like we've added to your busy schedule this year by asking you to write a column for us.
I know.
As well. And we were very excited to receive your first one in the last magazine, which was great. It was a bit about how you kind of reset and reboot and manage your time. What will readers be hearing from you about over the next little while? What are you pretty passionate about right now?
I'm passionate about all kinds of things. I want to talk a little bit about leadership and what leadership really looks like, because I think that's changed massively in recent times. Mm. And I don't know, I think you're just going to have to wait and see what comes after that. I make notes incessantly. So I've got a little folder that I keep my notes for Elite in, and then I just go back to them when my column's due.
Okay. You just mentioned leadership there. You've done a lot of work to empower women in the industry over the years. What do you think still needs to be done?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because what I find with a lot of women is that they just don't actually want to play the game by the rules that are there with men, particularly in corporate roles. And I can't blame them for that. I think I've been blessed with the ownership of Lang & Simmons over the years that I haven't had to get involved in those kind of political games. But I know that in a lot of brands that it's alive and well, sadly. So I can't blame people for wanting to step out of that instead of leaning into it. I think that women do need to back themselves a little bit more. We're not typically risk takers, and could well be the way we're brought up, because you're always encouraging boys to climb trees and girls to play with dolls or pretend kitchens, right?
Yeah, it still happens.
Yeah, it does.
But I have heard recently, and I don't know whether it's the times we're living in or whatever, but I have heard stories from women who have left employers, like, because they're bullied or sexually harassed. Like, you know, unfortunately, it still happens, and it happens a lot. And what I've found is that, again, women will go quietly because they don't want to create a fuss, or they want to be seen as doing the right thing. And I'm sure that there's probably women listening to this that might have been in that situation, because it's not uncommon. What advice would you give to those women?
Great question. I mean, I was one of those women who left quietly, although when I resigned, I was a shopping centre manager, and when I resigned, I didn't do that quietly. I was very loud and probably a little bit inappropriate, but I didn't do anything further. And it was only last year that I sort of started to share my story, which is very mild compared to what I know a lot of other women have gone through. But what upset me after sharing my story last year was the number of women who reached out to me privately and said, yep, it's actually just happened to me. Because my story it's old. It happened a long time ago, but it is absolutely still happening. And I would encourage everybody that you have got to actually stand up and say, it's just not okay. You might think it's funny, but I don't think it's funny. Please don't do that again, or don't say that again, or you've just got to stand up for yourself in the moment. And sometimes it's easy to say but really hard to do.
Oh, absolutely, because we all want to be liked and none of us want to cause a fuss. But
and we don't want to lose our jobs. And unfortunately, history will tell you that often it is the person that makes the complaint that loses the job rather than the perpetrator.
Yeah. See, sadly, I keep hearing that too. Like, you know, and it's almost like I wonder how that could possibly be today. But, you know, like I think that there's a lot of strong women out there that still put up with a lot.
I had a situation just recently where a young girl had spoken to her leader and said that, you know, I'm uncomfortable with what's happening in the office. And the leader's like, oh, you know, he doesn't really mean it that way. I'm like, doesn't matter how he means it. It matters how it's making her feel. And she's been brave enough to tell you how she feels. So man up and do something about it. Yeah. Don't avoid the conversation because it's difficult. So we've been working on a Male Champions for Change program, which has been fascinating as I talk about that from the stage when I'm on the road with the REI. The men all sit there with their arms folded and look at me, and I can read their mind. They're thinking, what is this chick on about? This isn't it's not a problem. It's really not necessary. But all the women in the room sit there and nod.
Mm.
And I just say, okay, guys, I get it. I do understand it from your perspective. But have a look around at the women that are agreeing with me. So why don't you just privately have a conversation with them and with the women in your world and see from their perspective what the world's like.
Blokes, if you're listening, I think that's really good advice actually, because you never know what problem you could turn over unless you actually ask the question.
Ask the question, yeah. Well, I don't know whether you've spoken to Ewan Morton about this, but he spoke at a Women in Real Estate conference a year or so ago. And before he spoke, he actually spoke to the women in his office, the women in his life, his daughters, his wife, about just all things female. And he was horrified at some of the things that he heard from them. He had no idea that even his wife had stories to tell. And it's like, well, why have you never told me this before? It's like, because blokes always want to fix it. Women don't want to fuss. And so we just deal with it the best way we can.
We just want to get on with our jobs and do a good job.
Yeah, we do. I never planned to be this woman, if that makes sense. When I started as an agent a long, long time ago, there were hardly any women, and I just tried the best I could to fit in. Yeah, I just wanted to be one of the boys because what else could I do, right? And even when they started having women's events and so forth, I never got involved in any female-focused conferences or groups or anything because I didn't feel like I needed it, and I just was always trying to fit in with the world that I was in. So for me to sit back and look at where I am now, it actually makes me laugh because it wasn't intentional. It really wasn't what I set out to do. But
yeah. You know. But then, like Ida Butro says, you take steps, one step and then the next step and then the next step, and look where you ended up.
Yep, totally. This was not part of a strategy, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you don't need the whole staircase to take a step.
So true. Yeah, that's really important advice, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now that we've got you captive in the studio, I think for the first time in a while, we're going to do the Leadership Diaries with you, which is a series of questions that we ask leaders for, you know, some advice and tips for people that might be aspiring to leadership or in leadership roles and struggling a bit, because being a leader is not easy.
No, it's not.
Ever.
No.
So you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Bring it on.
All right. What was your first job and what did it teach you?
I was a Saturday girl, actually the Sunday girl in my dad's real estate business. Started as a 12-year-old answering the phone, and it taught me the value of hard work and starting what I finish and doing what I say I'm going to do.
Good lesson. What is the most important thing you're working on now and how are you making it happen?
Oh, you'll have to stay tuned for that.
Oh, okay.
That's another podcast, that one.
All right, okay. All right. That means you're coming back.
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Okay. What does the first hour of your day look like? Are you a 5 a.m. clubber?
I used to be a 5 a.m. clubber when I worked in the city. Now I am based from home, and so I am more like a 6 a.m. clubber, and I get up and I go to the gym. So I work out 5 or 6 times a week and then come home and start work. That's about it.
Are you still doing Speed Fit?
No, I stopped Speed Fit when the pandemic hit.
All right. You got me hooked on that.
Yeah?
I'm still doing it? I'm still doing it.
Oh, well done.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the weirdest exercise ever, but it works.
Yeah, and I sleep really well after it.
Yeah.
Side note. Can you name someone who's had a tremendous impact on you as a leader?
Yeah, Tony Anderson. Tony was the franchisee at Lang & Simmons Commercial and then became the owner of the Lang & Simmons brand in 1997. He is a great real estate agent. He's a great bloke. And he was, I learned a lot. I learned a lot working alongside him.
Who are you learning from right now?
I'm learning from all kinds of different people and learning all kinds of different things, to be honest. So it's not so much from people above me, but agents that are in the field, social media people out there, because that's all evolving as we go. Yeah, there's just a lot going on. I did a great speaking course as well just recently with a guy called Vin Jiang. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? We nearly got him on to Transform this year.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
He is the best. I absolutely love him. Get him next year.
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay, good tip.
Tell him I sent you.
I will.
Okay.
Okay, where do great ideas in your business come from?
They evolve. And so it's I'm a pretty open and collaborative, inclusive kind of leader. And so we have conversations. So I'll say, how about this? And then somebody will go, yeah, but what if we, you know, tweaked it and did it this way? And so it's an evolution. Lots of conversations.
Yeah. What is your favourite question to ask someone in a job interview, and what does their answer tell you?
What would surprise me about you? And I ask that question. We do inductions for new people at Lang & Simmons, and I ask that question of all of the new people, and you'd be surprised the things that people have done that you had no idea about. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's a bit like that two truths and a lie kind of icebreaker, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
totally. Yep.
Yep, yep. Okay, what is one characteristic that every leader should have in their tool bag?
I think really good communication skills are essential. It's no point being a great strategic thinker if you can't share the direction clearly with your team. And that was something I learned from Tony very early in the piece. I took a major pay cut to go to work at Lang & Simmons, and I'd been fighting for that pay increase for 18 months. And then the week they tell me that they're going to give me the pay increase is the same week that the business is being sold. And so I marched down to the new owners, determined that I was going to leave if I didn't get my increase. And Tony could articulate his why so clearly that I just thought, you know what, if he can turn me around to this degree in an hour, I can't wait to see what he can do with the franchisees and with the group. So, yeah, I think great communication skills.
Yeah, that's a good one. What is the best way for you to help a new person that you've just hired understand the culture of your business?
Yeah, culture's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you can talk about it and you can have glossy brochures and all of that sort of stuff, but it's until you experience it. And I guess I would have them with me in meetings and in conversations with business owners. In the middle of the pandemic, everybody knew how stressful it had been because I was having dual roles, and the franchisees all got together and did 10-second video clips of them saying, "Leanne, thank you so much. We love you. You're a legend." And I'm sitting there watching 40-odd franchise owners like this video compilation. I'm like, it just absolutely blew me away. So I think I would probably share things like that with a new person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you give someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
Again, it's around communication. I wouldn't make the mistake of thinking I knew what the answers were. I wouldn't even make the mistake of thinking I knew what the questions were even. Mm-hmm. So talk to the people. Start with your leadership team, but talk to as many people throughout the different areas of the organisation as you can, and get their input about what's working well, about what's not, about the direction. How do they know what the direction is? How clear are they on the values of the organisation? Communicate.
Yeah, question. That's such a good one, actually, yeah. Because the quality of your questions determines the quality of your answers too.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, you've probably heard a bit of this over your career, but what's the worst advice you've heard given to someone starting their career in real estate?
Gosh, I've never really thought about that. I think the worst advice would be sticking it out in an environment that isn't you. Because we know how hard it is to change in real estate, right? You do have to sort of stay in your area. But if you're in a business where you're not working in alignment with your own core values, you'll have to get out sooner or later. Otherwise, it will really bring you down.
I know you've conquered a few fears in your career. Like, I've seen you do some amazing things.
mad things.
Singing.
Yes.
Dancing.
Yes.
Is there anything you're afraid to do, or you would do if you weren't afraid to?
Oh, I've never jumped out of an aeroplane. We've talked about it and booked it, and then for various reasons it never happened. So I don't know that I would still do that. I'd like to think I would, but I don't know. I don't know that I would, because I am a little bit frightened of heights.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. The only heights I want to be on is like a stool in a in a
nice, a double decker bus, maybe. That's
yeah,
in
a
it.
Nice yeah. cocktail bar. Yeah, yeah, or, yeah exactly.
Exactly.
That's the heights I like. What does leadership at home look like?
It's a partnership at home. My husband and I, a lot of people will say to Rob, oh, boy, she must be a handful. And he just laughs, because it's not true. We both know what's important to each other. So we pick the battles that we know the priorities for us rather than, does that make sense? I'm not articulating myself very well, but I know what's important to him and he knows what's important to me, and we don't battle about those things. And in fact, we're almost 29 years married and we don't battle about anything. I could probably count on one hand how many serious fights we've had.
Yeah, wow. So it's true leadership partnership.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Do unto others, right? I treat him the way I want him to treat me, and vice versa.
Yeah, amazing.